All right, turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And if you guys could put the light here more, thank you. All right. We have been working our way through this wonderful book. And last week, we saw some very important parts in chapter 2 that Paul commended the church at Philippi in verse 12. He said, "You have always obeyed, not just in my presence only, but much more in my absence. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing." So not half of the things or not just when you're happy, but do everything without complaining. So working out what God has done on the inside, we work it out into our lifestyle. We work it out into what other people see and benefit from. So this week, we're going to see Paul speak about two individuals, two colleagues, two young men that were associates of his that worked with him in the ministry. And this is Timothy and Epaphroditus. Okay, we named our son after one of those guys. Yeah, the other name, Epaphroditus is kind of a hard name to give your son. You don't hear that. But he is, you'll see by the end of the day, he is an outstanding guy. All right, so let's look at the first passage here about young Timothy. Philippians 2:19. "I trust in the Lord to send Timothy to you shortly, that I may be encouraged when I know your state." All right? So where is Paul as he's writing this letter to the Philippians? Where is he located physically? Hey, guys, I really need some light up here. I'm 51 years old. But I can't be back here. They can just move the lights. I know you can do it. You guys are so awesome. You can do it. All right. So Paul was in prison when he was writing this epistle, and so he couldn't physically get to them, but he wanted to send Timothy as a representative because Timothy could see how they're doing. Verse 20, "For I have no one," that's worse, "no one like-minded," just leave it, that's good, awesome. "I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. But you know his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. Therefore, I hope to send him at once, as soon as I see how it goes with me. But I trust in the Lord that I myself shall also come shortly." All right, so that's Timothy's passage. The next one is going to be Epaphroditus. So let's look at what he said about Timothy. All right? So, Paul can't get there. He says, "I do trust, I believe that I will come to you shortly." You remember in chapter 1 that even though Paul was in prison, he believed that this would work for his deliverance. All right, so there was a faith, a trust in God, that Paul wasn't going to stay in prison. And I think it was because another sense that he hadn't finished his job yet. All right, and he said, Elsie said, "I'm going to remain. I'm going to continue to work in this body. There'll be fruit from my labor for you." All right. So again, Paul, the second time, he says that I believe I'm going to get out of this prison. But the reason why Paul is writing about Timothy going is because Paul cares for this church. He cares for these people. And so Paul was an incredible thinker and possibly the greatest theologian of the people who wrote the epistles, but Paul had a huge heart for people. And I would just like to commend, whatever you do in life, don't ever lose your heart for people, all right? And you can be a great scientist, you can be a great lawyer, a great doctor, you can be a great school teacher, but love people, have a heart for people, because that will change up everything. So he takes three verses to describe the character and characteristics of Timothy. And I want you to listen really closely, because Timothy, my wife and I, and that's why we named our son Timothy is like he's like the unknown rock star of the New Testament. This guy is awesome. And he has characteristics that we can emulate and that can be a huge part of our life as well. All right, so he says, I don't have anyone. Paul knew a lot of people who had other colleagues, but I don't have anyone who is like-minded. Like-minded. Now, the Greek word there is, it has a different connotation than just like-minded, all right? It's a word called isosukos, all right? So iso meaning the same as, remember in science class, isotope? I don't know what an isotope is, but I remember the iso, all right, meaning the same. And psychos meaning of the inside, where we get psychology and the psyche, all right? So Timothy has the same inside as me, all right? One lexicon literally says it would be like-souled, like-souled, all right? So it's not just that we wore the same jersey and we know the same song and we're besties. No, on the inside, Timothy is like me. We share the same values and soul, all right? Now, it's amazing that Paul said that Timothy was like this, but it's also, wouldn't you consider it sad that no one else was like this? There was only one guy that had this type of similarity to Paul, all right? Turn with me, look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. So how did Paul, in a sense, find this in Timothy? All right? Well, it wasn't just because Paul had laid his hands on Timothy, which he did. He mentioned that. But Timothy, it seems, made a decision that others did not. Okay? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. All right, so in 2 Timothy 3, when Paul is saying you, he's not talking to a church, right? He's talking to Timothy because he wrote the letter to one person. You get that? Okay. So when he says, but you, he's saying you, Timothy, but you, Timothy, have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them the Lord delivered me. Okay? So what Timothy had on the inside, just leave that, go back to verse 10. What Timothy had on the inside was not by accidental osmosis. Okay? It was purposeful, and it was something that Timothy determined. All right, look at that phrase, you've carefully followed. Carefully followed. All right, now I understand that we live in an age, and I guess in church history it's gotten weird from time to time, but we live in an age today where, in a sense, having a spiritual leader, whoever that person might be, could be a pastor, a bishop, somebody that you emulate from TV or something like that. So there's a spiritual concept, a biblical concept to that, all right? But, and this is not what this sermon is going to be about, but I've also seen where today it's going beyond its biblical boundaries, all right? But Timothy said, Paul said, you've carefully followed. And I was reading this to my wife this week, and we were saying, you know what? We've done that with spiritual leaders in our life that have been there and that are there today, is that we, obviously there's no human that is perfect, right? And there's no human that is faultless or flawless, all right? But there are people that God brings into our life that he wants us to carefully follow, all right? And that's one of the reasons why when we went to Rhema and we've stayed connected to the Hagen ministry, and again, they're not perfect. If they were here, they'd tell you that. But you know, I've seen their character. I've seen their persecution and perseverance and long-suffering. I've watched their doctrine. And I would really commend to you, because Miracle Life, in a way, is a church where a lot of our members end up living somewhere else. Okay? We're going to be visiting some members who are in another country soon here. And people do move from this church to other churches for a variety of reasons. All right? But I would really ask you to think carefully that the next time you're thinking about finding a church is the leadership of that church. Can I carefully follow them? Can I follow their doctrine? Can I follow their manner of life? Can I follow how they handle tough times? Okay? And, I don't know, a year ago so at Miracle Life, there was a couple, we met them, and they hadn't become members yet. And then we didn't see them for a while. We said, hey, you know, what's up? And they said, oh, well, you know, there's a certain doctrine at Miracle Life that's not what we believe. And we just felt it was, you know, we needed to find a different church. You know what? That's a good decision, I think. And obviously, I disagree. I don't adhere to any doctrines that I think are bad, all right, or unscriptural. But if you can't, and if you're here at Miracle Life and 80% of Miracle Life, or my wife and I, 80% or 70%, I can't follow that. I would just say, you know, we love you so much, but man, find a church where you can carefully follow. Instead of just being consistently frustrated. A really good friend of mine, Pastor John Nuzzo, said, life is too short to go to church every Sunday and be upset. Okay, it's just, life is too short for that. All right, now, the other thing is, if you live in Lusaka, you have a luxury that is not afforded everywhere in the world, and that is some of the, this city has some of the best churches and pastors in Africa. Okay, and so there are many different styles and different churches or different models of doctrine or lifestyle that you could find that. And again, if you say, Pastor, I'm the guy and need to help me to find a church, I could point you in just the right church. All right, if it's not Miracle Life, amen. So we're not trying to get rid of anybody, but again, if you can't carefully follow, then don't. All right, find someone that you can carefully follow. All right, so Paul said that this similarity of heart that Timothy had, and it seems as though that what he referenced here, that was one of the reasons why that got inside him and got internalized, because was Timothy carefully followed the doctrine, the lifestyle, all right? It made him very valuable to Paul. Paul could send him to do things that he couldn't send other people. Okay, and Timothy would have a similar fruit that Paul would have. And notice what this is, and this is so vital. Okay, this would be Philippians 2 and verse, let's see here. Verse 20, okay, verse 20. It says, Timothy will sincerely care for your state. Sincerely care for your state. Now, we know from other writings of the New Testament that Timothy was gifted. All right, Timothy had certain abilities, but Paul didn't mention those here. He said when he goes, he's going to be like me, and that he is going to sincerely care for your state. All right? So this church has kind of had a really cool thing that's happened recently, and that is Pastor William I saw him this week, and he's preaching all the way until the end of the year, won't be in church, but he is touching leaders and reaching people and churches all over Zambia. And you know what he's doing when he gets there? He is sincerely caring. All right? You know, if any of you have ever had any contact with Pastor William, he'd be the first to tell you he's not completely gifted in every area. But you know what he does have? Sincere care. Sincere care. And so now that's happening while you and I are just hanging out here. All right? Miracle Life is sincerely caring for lots of pastors and leaders all over this nation. And what he finds out, he says, Pastor, they're so broken, they're so hurting. And he's caring and he's loving. Isn't that awesome? All right. So what a wonderful characteristic to have as a Christian worker or a server is that you sincerely care for other people. All right. And so, you know, at this church, we've got people who are serving in all different places on a Sunday morning or during the week. All right. And hopefully they're positioned by talent and gifting and those things. But the other thing that's so important is, do you sincerely care for people? Amen. And I would hope that would be something you could get from my wife and I, because we do. All right. Now, what was the barrier for the others? All right, so we have Timothy and the others, all right, who did not have this characteristic. All right, well, look at what Paul says about them that disqualified them from him sending them. Philippians 2:21, for all, that means everybody but Timothy, all seek their own. Seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. Whoa, whoa, whoa. You mean those are not the same? All right? Paul has already referenced this mentality, hasn't he, in Philippians? Look not only for your own interests, but the interests of others. Esteem and consider others better than yourself. All right? If there is any characteristic that would describe the world that we live in or the world system, and is that it is a selfish system. People make most of their decisions for self-interest. Okay? You know, think about it. You know, when you got married, when I got married, did you go into marriage with this thought, I'm just so happy to get married. I've just had 101 things that I've been thinking about of how much I want to bless this person. I just want to fulfill their life and I want to build them up. I don't want to put these two couples on the spot that stood today. All right. But I would imagine if I could have coffee with them individually, and I'd say I was probably in the same boat as a guy before I got married. You know, hey, why are you looking to get married? Well, me. It's going to be so awesome for me. Okay. Can we just kind of have a little honesty time here? Most of us, including me, are more selfish than we realize. Okay. New Living Translation says the others. It says the others only care for themselves. The Message Bible says they are looking out for themselves. Amplified says, and be aware, this might sound a little loud. It's from the Amplified. All right. I didn't make up that joke. Okay. The Amplified says they seek to advance their own interests. Well, wait a second. Paul's already told us just a few verses before. Don't only look out for your own interests, but the interests of others. All right. So that's why these people were not as valuable to Paul. These were ministry people. These were not heathens, but they were very self-centered. Okay. So Paul said that they don't seek the things which are of Christ Jesus. All right, just listen to this, folks. When you and I are self-centered or self-focused, we will ignore the interests of Jesus. We will ignore and neglect the interests of Jesus when we're wrapped up in our own solely. Okay? So self-interest is a hindrance to the plan of God. All right? It is a hindrance in a church, in any type of a local church. All right? So right now, today at Miracle Life, I don't know how many how many serving teams we have at Miracle Life, but people that serve and help in different capacities, but all of them need your help. All of them. And so the goal at Miracle Life is that, if you're an usher, is that you usher on week one. On week two, you come in street clothes, you're off duty, and you just come and hang out with your family. Then week three, you come, and that you don't come for both services, because our church is too big. Our church is too big for people to be burned out. Okay? But see, here's the thing. Sometimes you see these happy ushers with their white shirts and everything, and you think, oh, that's such a blessing. Well, they're smiling, but some of them have been serving for 10 years without a break. Amen? Now, what we're going to see in the next text, get ready for it, is Epaphroditus almost died overdoing it. Okay. So you don't want to be accessory to somebody's death. All right. For real. All right. So, at times we've said in the last year or two, we've said, hey, let's have mature, godly men in our children's ministry. Mature, godly men. All right. Immature, ungodly, need not apply. Okay? For reals. Okay? But why? Well, see, there's a certain percentage of kids in our children's church, they don't have a dad. They don't have a dad. And if we say mature, godly man, they think that that's like a Martian. They've never seen one. They don't know that one exists. And imagine if you are the man that influences an entire generation. Hey? So we've talked about that. We've said, you've seen connection groups are opening, but we don't have enough. We need people to open up their homes. Not like forever, not like 7 days a week, just 2 hours. 2 hours, open up your home. All right? Or to lead and facilitate the group. You don't have to be a pastor. It just means talk about the Bible and listen and help other people talk about the Bible. Pray, go home. All right? It really isn't rocket science. You don't need a seminary degree. All right? So we've talked about this, right? And there's going to be coming a time here real soon. We're piloting this with 10 of our connection groups, where connection groups are going to be doing community outreach and loving our city and touching our city. Now, if you're going to be in one of these groups that's going to do it, eventually all of us are going to be doing that. Maybe ask yourself a question. So you're going to hear in connection group, hey, we're going to go to this hospital or hospice. We're going to go to this home. We're going to help these people. We're going to share the love of Jesus. Are you as willing to do that than when the connection group has Saturday, bring meat, feed your face, sit on your backside, and drink Coke and Sprite and the national drink of Zambia, Orange Fanta? I don't really feel led. No, it's not that you don't feel led. You're selfish. Just tell your neighbor, it might be me. It might be me. Selfishness is the singular killer of marriages. There are other killers, but this one is the chief killer of marriages. All right? On Thursday, we're going to have prayer for the nation. We're going to pray for the church of Jesus. We're going to pray for government because the Bible says we should. All right. So that we all have the day off, right? There will be no traffic on Thursday morning. Most of the city will be hungover. Okay. Right? Okay. So, I might come. We'll see. I might come. But imagine if Thursday morning we were going to have happy, dancing, fun-filled activity Thursday morning. Yay! That sounds awesome for me. Everyone else, Paul says, everyone else, and these were most likely pastors, everyone else seeks their own. Self-centered, the world revolved around them. Isn't that sad? All right, but how do we combat that? Well, we live unselfishly. We give our life away. Amen. So, one of the cool things that Paul says here is that on a team, and so there was, Paul had these people, and they did ministry together and in the Gentile world, is that leaders and workers and people and teams and all the different, we can have our heart aligned with each other. Not just have the same badge or the same uniform, but our hearts can be aligned with the heart of Jesus Christ. Amen? All right. So, Paul and Timothy had different gifts, but the same heart. Okay? Different contributions, but the same desire and destination for people. All right? So, at Miracle Life, let's let our teams have not just the same procedures, and we've got stuff that we need to do and not do. But folks, let's have the same heart. And it's not just Pastor Haley and I's heart. It's the heart of Jesus Christ to care for people. Amen? All right. Now, Paul also said about Timothy, he said, you know his proven character. So I'm not just giving you his CV, but you know him. He's lived among you, and you've seen him. All right. And isn't that an awesome thing to say that you've known his character? You've proven character. I don't have to talk you into it. I don't have to do a commercial for Timothy. You know he's an awesome guy. And it says, as a son, he served with me. All right? Now, just a real small thought here is that Paul referenced this at different times, Timothy, Titus, different ones, about what he would say like a father in the faith, or as a son, okay? So, there's a principle there that he repeats that Timothy and others were like children to me, all right? Now, so we saw a scripture that Paul, or Timothy, had a real purpose to say, you know, listen to Paul's doctrine. I'm going to watch his lifestyle. I'm going to carefully follow him. All right? And boy, I'm so thankful for men and women in my life that I can carefully, on purpose, follow their heart and their doctrine. Amen? We don't have to make it up all over again. So that's a biblical principle. I think in our 2018 world, that principle has been taken too far. All right, that someone who is a, quote, a spiritual father, that it's considered like an office in the church. All right, so you've got apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, and spiritual fathers, spiritual mothers. Okay, and you can do this at home. It's not very difficult. Every single time in the New Testament where there's a reference of this, a father, son, or daughter kind of thing, it is always, 100% of the time, an analogy. Okay? Like, you know, see somebody in the parking lot, man, I tell you what, you really work like a horse. I didn't say you are a horse or please be a horse. No, there's a characteristic about you, your work, that, man, you are dedicated in the same way that a horse is dedicated. All right. So in the New Testament, like a father or mother in a home would mold and shape and want to see the people of another generation raised up, Paul was like a father to many different people. Okay? So the person that led you to the Lord is not your spiritual mother. Timothy was a Christian before Paul met him. He was already a Christian. All right? But then he began to serve, and like a father, he learned things. All right? He watched him. All right? You've never met my dad. He's in heaven. But if you met him, all right, you'd say, oh, Pastor Walker, you're a lot like your dad. Exactly. It kind of happens like that, doesn't it? All right? Good and bad. All right? That's the scary part. Okay, so just please, let's let the Bible give us a great principle that we should have people in our life that we follow their faith and we emulate, we look up to them. That's awesome. And I hope that everybody in this room can be like a father, like a mother to people. But let's not take it beyond its scriptural, biblical confines. Amen? Because there's just some weird stuff that is out there about this type of stuff. Okay? Paul said to another group of people, you have many teachers, but not many fathers. Okay, you can have more than one father spiritually, influencer, person that you look up to. Right? Some people would say that's heresy. Well, no, it's the Bible. Paul said you don't have many fathers. Right? Biologically, you can't have many fathers. All right, there's only one biological father. Okay? Hallelujah. Amen. So, I pray that, and I hope that from this passage and just as we walk with Jesus, that Miracle Life would be known as a place where there are many fathers and mothers in the faith. That we would be looking to touch the lives of not just age, those that are younger in age, but those who are inexperienced in faith, and that we would reach out and lift up. I would also pray that in the years to come that Miracle Life would be a Timothy factory. That we would just flood this nation with people who sincerely care for the state of others. Whether that's in what we say full-time church ministry, or that's in NGO work, if it's in government, all the different areas where we can serve and love. Amen? All right, so let's look at this other guy, Epaphroditus. All right, let's read his section. Verse 25, yet I considered it necessary to send Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier, but your messenger and the one who ministered to my need. Since he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick, for he indeed was sick almost unto death. But God had mercy on him, not only on him, but me, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I sent him the more eagerly, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and that I may be less sorrowful. Receive him, therefore, in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such men in esteem, because for the work of Christ he came close to death, not regarding his life, to supply what was lacking in your service to me. That's interesting, isn't it? Epaphroditus. Now, isn't it cool that Paul put these two guys together, right next to each other? Because they were both servers, helpers, lovers of humanity. All right, and he had had different things to say about them and their circumstances. So let's look at this guy. All right, We don't talk about Epaphroditus as much because he doesn't have two books named after him. But he is a great guy. Look at verse 25, what Paul refers to him as. He says, my brother, my fellow worker, my fellow soldier. Now, please note that from what I can gather in the New Testament, there is not as much hierarchy in the first century church as we have today. So, in our terms, Paul would be the chief big dog continental apostle, shaker of the world, kind, right? I mean, he wrote the New Testament. He saw Jesus. This guy is amazing, correct? I mean, if Paul lived today, whew. I mean, you talk about an entourage of cars. But he didn't live that. He didn't live that way. He didn't think of himself that way. And when he referred to other people, Paul didn't refer to Epaphroditus as the lowly plebe private Epaphroditus. No. What did he say? Fellow worker, fellow soldier, as if to say they were of the same rank. Yeah. Amen. Now, is there authority that's delegated on the earth? Yes. All right. But Paul didn't seem to be too hung up with that as much as I think we are today. Okay. Just as we were getting ready for church today, somebody we know, we love them, they're good people. And they were with a gathering of bishops on an unnamed West African country. All right. Hallelujah. All right. And there were 20 of them, all, and there was a picture of them. And they were more blinged out than the Pope. Really, literally. As far as all their, these were Pentecostals and all their garb and everything. It's like, what's up with this? What are we doing, folks? All right? Just crazy. All right, just leave the crazy at home and serve Jesus. Okay? Be a fellow worker, fellow soldier. Hallelujah. That's a great position. That's a very lofty position. All right. So, we see that he was sick and that he was close to death. All right. Now, please understand, because I've people who, some folks that don't believe that physical divine healing is for today, for the Church of Jesus, they'll say, well, what about Epaphroditus? He was sick. Well, yeah, that doesn't mean anything. He was sick. So was Timothy. He had a tummy ache. Remember Paul said, take a little wine for your stomach's ache? All right. So the fact that people are sick doesn't change the will of God, even if that person is in the Bible. Right? In fact, the other thing is Epaphroditus was sick, but God had mercy on him. What does that mean? He got healed. All right. So let's not, and this is a Bible interpretation problem, don't read into Scripture what's not there. Epaphroditus was sick, therefore it's not the will of God to heal sick people, or he does it in his time, in his way, sovereignly as he chooses. I don't see that in the text, so don't put it in the text. Jesus healed everybody. By his stripes we are healed. He bore our sickness and disease. We have lots and lots of scriptural evidence that it's part of the redemptive work of Jesus. Well, but Epaphroditus was sick. Yeah. And I preach on healing. I believe healing. I pray for the sick. And on Tuesday, if I died of a sickness, guess what? It doesn't change the Bible. Shame. Pastor Walker died of a sickness. Bummer. I believe in healing. Full stop. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. You'll see me on Thursday at prayer. Amen. So, Paul says, this type of a guy, hold in high esteem. Not because of his rank or his title or his position, because of what he did. All right. And I think we need to do that more these days, is to value people for who they are and what they do, and not just their title or their status that's been ascribed to them, sometimes for no reason at all. Okay? So, verse 30, it says, "For the work of Christ, he came close to death." All right, well, now this is interesting. So the sickness that he almost died from and God had mercy on him, Paul does a mini diagnosis. All right, was it a malaria mosquito, or was it something in the water? No. What was it? It was for the work of Christ. He came close to death. All right. So the Bible says he didn't regard his own life. He didn't regard his own life to supply what was lacking in your service to me. All right. Now, you know, maybe half of you need to hear that. Please don't overdo it. Half of this crowd needs to hear, don't work too hard. Okay? The other half, you do not need to hear that message. You are not working hard enough to put your life in peril. Okay? Some of you are really far from this type of a sickness. Right? Let's be honest, okay? Well, I'm just playing it safe. I don't want to be Epaphroditus. Well, you have successfully done that. Okay. And you've got calluses on your backside from being seated for so long. All right? And the only muscle you know is the muscle that picks up the remote control of your TV, okay? Everything else is atrophied. Okay? So, work. Work while it's day, the Bible says. There is a work to be done. He's created us unto good work. All right? But again, I would say probably about half of this crowd, you need to not overdo it. You need to be careful that you are not neglecting your body, your soul, your family. All right, chasing the almighty kwacha. All right? And if you're chasing the kwacha, you realize sometimes that he just gets wings and flies away. Right? Ecclesiastes is a wonderful book. This guy called The Teacher. And he said, you know, I had all this stuff and it's all vanity. That's not the most important thing in life. When you've got a family, when you've worked hard, and at the end of the day, man, oh, I tell you, that just savor that moment. That's God at work. Okay? So we need to make sure that we are not neglecting our life. And one of the things that God did in the Bible before the law is he gave us a pattern of the Sabbath. All right, the Sabbath rest, a Sabbath unto the Lord. All right, and this is not your annual leave. All right, that's good, but there's nothing in the Bible about annual leave, okay, which is fine. But one day a week, again, not 5 days, it's not a 5-day Sabbath, right? One day a week, stop. Stop the madness. Put the tools down. All right, and if when you really understand that some of the way that Jewish tradition would celebrate the Sabbath, man, it was like a party. You would be with your friends and you would engage, and it was something in a sense to recharge. If you think about your cell phone, it just can't go forever, can it? You've got to not use it, let it recharge. And so, if you don't have one, and I know, you know, really, my God has been dealing with my wife and I, is that. You know, sometimes when we would have a day off or whatever, it wasn't a day off. It was just a different type of work day. All right? And we are beginning to do things differently. I wish we'd have done them differently 20 years ago. All right. But wherever you are in this, don't be like Epaphroditus. All right. But here's the other side of it. Epaphroditus was working so hard because he was doing the work of more than Epaphroditus. All right. He was doing the work that was lacking of the Philippians. Now, people have two opinions about this. One idea is that, well, they couldn't do what they should be doing because of distance. And then the other idea is of neglect. All right. So I'm not 100% sure. But the fact is, he was overdoing it because he was doing more than what one person could do. Okay. So some of you are like that. Pastor Haley said, please mention that and warn people, because she's like that, because the job has to get done. And if you're not going to do it, then I'll do the work of 10 people. All right. But then you get to a certain age and you just can't do the work of 10 people anymore. All right. But again, if you're doing the work of 10 people, guess who's being cheated? The other 10 people, because God put talents and gifts on the inside of them. So what's the answer? The answer is in our family, in a work setting, in a church setting, here's what we do. We do our part. We do our part. Okay, again, don't be an accessory to the death of Epaphroditus. Okay, for your lack of service to the saints. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and this is, oh, what a beautiful, beautiful passage that shows how these parts work together. It's almost like a body of Christ anatomy class. I don't know if you, obviously doctors, you did it extensively, but all the different systems of the body, the digestive system and the circulatory system. But none of those systems work independently from each other, right? They're all connected. They all have a part to play in our body for it to be healthy. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility, listen to this, is to equip God's people to do his work. All right? So a lot of Sunday morning is vocational training. It is learning so I can do something. Equipping God's people to do his work. What is the work? And build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature, teleos, fully grown in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like little children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. Can we pause there and say, we're not there yet? There's a lot of winds and a lot of people blowing in the wind these days. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love. We, not the fivefold guys up in verse 11. No, no, no. Because now the body is equipped for works of service. And we, everybody, is speaking the truth in love, growing in every way, more and more like Christ, who is the head of the body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. How? As each part does its own special work. Tell your neighbor, you have a special work. Each part. Again, the fivefold guys and ladies in verse 11, they're not down here in verse 16. They have helped. They've influenced. All right. But now every part is doing its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. So, if a body, or the body of Christ as a whole, or if a local body, and there are thousands of thousands in our nation, all right, then we could have a leader fivefold problem, all right, and that those are real. But maybe there's also a verse 16 problem in that, well, but you know, the prophet just goes and gets my blessing and hands it to me. I just give him a little seed. No, trust God for your own miracle. Amen. Trust Jesus. Well, no, you know, the pastor will do all the work. No, that's not the job of the pastor. It's to equip you to do the work. I've watched this more and more in connection groups. And Pastor William, Pastor Haley and I, there was a situation where, we just couldn't figure this out. And trying to help this person and this family situation, it just wasn't clicking. It wasn't working. It wasn't because we weren't trying. All right? Then this situation gets into a connection group. And all of a sudden, everything changes. Everything changes. And we say, what happened? Was it that wisdom I shared with you as pastoral counsel? No, it wasn't. No. They said, you know what? There was this person in my connection group. They just grabbed a hold of me. And they just helped me. And they called me. And they prayed for me. And I'm thinking about this person. I'm thinking, I am pretty sure, in fact, I'm like convinced, I know more of the Bible than that person. Yeah. But you know what was happening? You know, here's what happened. That person now was doing their special work. And when they did their special work, guess what? The body got healthier, more healed, more whole. And now that person that was so struggling and just frustrated, you know what they're doing now? They're helping other people. They're touching other lives. They are doing their own special work. Amen. Hallelujah. So, God has a plan in His body for us to emulate people like Timothy and Epaphroditus, but also be aware that, man, Timothy was being used, but there were these others that God wanted to use more. And they needed to get their heart right. And they needed to value what Jesus values. And thank God for Epaphroditus. But we don't want people to come close to death or burnout or whatever it is because they're making up what somebody else should be doing. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. And that's one of the really cool things we go into this building campaign. I can't remember how many. What is it? 1,300 pledges or something like that? 1,300 pledges. All right. Everybody doing their part. And when we do our part, guess what? The body grows. So, can we just take a moment to let God talk to us? And I don't know where you are. If you're Timothy or Epaphroditus, or maybe you're one of the others, or making up, or the Philippians that were not doing as much as they could or should. All right. But let's talk to God. Father, thank you for your word. And Lord, it's so amazing that truth that was revealed through Paul 2,000 years ago, God, is so applicable to us. Father, it's very obvious to us that your word, what we have, is God breathed. It's your voice speaking to us. So, Father, we listen and we take heed and we listen with open hearts and open minds today, God, that we will be useful and fruitful. God, I know many here, Lord, and I feel this often, is that, well, God, why would you use me? I got my stuff. I got my issues. I'm not perfect. But God, amazingly, you still use us. And Father, you've also have a plan that, Lord, as you use us, that's part of the process of how we grow. and how we mature and how we do overcome selfishness. So God, I pray for every single person in this room, and Lord, anyone that might be listening to this, Father, reveal to us. Help us to take the next best steps away from selfishness towards service and love and life, and that we'll be a body fitted and joined together. Thank you. Jesus, you said you'd do it. So we believe that you are. We believe that you will. Father, for this body, for this family, Miracle Life, may you do that in greater measures than ever before. We love you today. In Jesus' name. With every head bowed, every eye closed, there is a body of Christ. Jesus is the head. God is the Father. The Holy Spirit comes to indwell and empower believers. But friend, that the entry into the body of Christ, the family of God, it's not through baptism. It's not through church membership. It's not through a creed or something like that. It is through a door called Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, I'm the door. You don't come to the Father except through me. So what does that look like? Well, the Bible says is that we trust him. We make him our Savior and Lord, that we can't fix our life. We can't undo the mess, but Jesus can. And so he died for us. He died in our place so that we could be children of God. And if you're here today and you are not yet a child of God, you can be. You can accept Jesus Christ today. If you are a child of God, but maybe you realize I am far from home. I'm like the prodigal son who left the father's house and was in a distant country. And you realize, man, there is so much about my life that is very distant from God and distant from his ways. Oh, friend, come home today. God has never stopped loving you, never stopped thinking about you. And he can make things right. He can make it right. Don't run from God, run to God today. So if you're here today and you say, Pastor, I need Jesus. I need to make him the Lord and Savior of my life. I need to come home from a distant place. Then we're going to pray together. God is going to do what he said he'll do. He'll make all things new in your life. He'll do that so that we can pray with heads bowed, eyes closed. On the count of three, I'm going to ask you to lift up your hand. We'll pray together. Ready? One, two, three. Just lift up your hand all across this auditorium. God bless you. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. Over here, all the way in the back. Thank you. Who else? Thank you. Thank you, ma'am. Anyone else? He loves you so much. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else before we pray? Wonderful. Thank you for saying yes, Jesus, to Jesus, sir. Can we all stand to our feet? Let's all stand to our feet. If you lifted up your hand, just grab your Bible, your belongings. Just come and meet me up front. We're going to pray together. God is going to do a miracle in your life today. Let's give these folks a big, big hand clap as they're coming. Over all the way in the back, here in the middle, this side. Wonderful, wonderful. Amen. Thanks for coming. Bless you. Now, you may be thinking, I didn't lift my hand, but I should have. Then just come. Just come and receive Jesus. God bless you, sir. God bless you, sir. Wonderful, wonderful. God bless you. God bless you. Wonderful. Thank you for coming. Thank you, sir. All right. Now, if this was going to be a gift for free, I paid, but I want you to have it, how would you get it? Right? You would just reach out. So God's gift of love, of forgiveness, of new life, Jesus paid for that gift. And so we receive that gift by faith. So would you just lift up one of your hands? Just say this prayer with me. Say, God, I believe you love me. You sent Jesus to die in my place. I receive him as Lord and Savior. I turn away. I turn my back on every wrong thing. I follow Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You are risen from the dead. You are risen in my heart. You are my Savior. You are my Lord. In your name I pray.